Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Hey, welcome, everybody. Great to have you with us as we begin a new week on Political Coffee. Yes, a little politics with your coffee. It's a great way to start the day, don't you think? Or maybe you're on your way home because we play this show, replay it rather, in the evening at 6 o'clock in the evening. Either way, we talk about stuff that's important in your life because it impacts you and it's politics. So let me ask you this. Listen, people today, listen with their feelings and think with their hearts. Let me say that again. People today, listen with their feelings and think with their hearts. Recalling Kate might make us feel good, but in the end would not allow us to use our resources wisely to win much more than the governorship in 2020. That, my friends, is at least part of the essence of what we're going to talk about today. Yes, we think we finally have Bill Currier, who we were supposed to have on Friday. Bill apologized. He was apparently traveling out there across the country and was unable to get to us. So supposedly we have him today. I've texted him, and hopefully we'll be able to, producer Phil will be able to connect with him at the bottom of the hour, because we want to ask him about really what are their motivations and reasons for launching the recall petition. Now, yesterday, after I left the church that I go to, I was driving to a grocery store to go grab some groceries, and there sitting alongside in Harrisburg, was sitting alongside the road, was a car with signs on it say, recall Kate Brown, stop here for your recall petition. Okay, so obviously people are out there doing this. We know that they're out there at festivals. They're certainly at Republican Party booths at the various county fairs and places like that, but there are people who are working this aggressively and actively. An activist friend of mine who is down in the Eugene area called me, I think it was Saturday, and said that the Oregon Republican Party had sent him two envelopes with 12 10-line sheets in them, which would be 120 signatures, two of them. So that's 240 signatures. And he's going to go out and he's going to try to get as many of those as he possibly can. So people today, listen with their feelings and think with their hearts. Now, that is from one of our regular listeners who is supportive of the idea but thinks it may be a diversion that doesn't really achieve much because there are other things that need to be attended to. So we're going to talk to Bill Currier about all of that, but I want to know what you think. Is this a diversion? Now, over the weekend also, the Eric Lukens, which is the chief editor over at the Bend Bulletin, had a piece about the Oregon Republican Party's recall, saying the gang that couldn't shoot straight. And he really made fun of the entire effort, and primarily because there is this mistaken notion that it is only going to be, if in fact they were successful in getting enough signatures and people recalled Kate Brown. And that is still a possibility. I'm going to tell you that right now because of her unpopularity. Is that poll we talked about last week, the morning consult poll, showed she is almost the most unpopular governor in the entire country. Seriously. So that's an opportunity. All right, so fine. But Eric Lukens in the Bend Bulletin just bought into the same lie that Bev Clarno would not be the Secretary of State because of the appointment. That's wrong. I went over that in the Constitution with you all. In fact, I'm not the only one to think that way. I know the AP story was wrong also. Lars was talking about this the other day. In fact, Lars and I had an offline conversation. He called me, and we talked it through. And I went over the Constitution with him. He read those. We talked about it. I talked to two other lawyers, and they both concluded that, well, it doesn't appear to say that it would prevent Bev Clarnell from being that, but it's never been decided. So the Oregon Supreme Court has never decided this issue, folks. In fact, the Oregon Attorney General has never issued an opinion about it. And then a guy called, actually the subject of the, that was the AP story about, oh, these Republicans are not sure. Is the AP up to their same old liberal leftist tricks? Well, they're not always Republicans in Oregon are in favor of recalling Kate Brown, was the headline, right? Well, if you read about it, it's really the same thing that this person emailed me about. It said, well, okay, yeah, I'll support it, but, and that was the chairman of the Deschutes County Republican Party, basically saying the same thing. Yeah, I'm going to support it, but I just don't know that we can get this done. I don't think maybe it's the wisest use of our resources, yada, yada, yada. So that person, that chairman, Paul DeWitt, I think is his name, called Lars and said, well, look, we had a conversation with Bev Clarnell, who is, of course, from Deschutes County, from the Bend area. And she told us that she could not ascend to the governorship because of the appointment. Okay, how does she know that? Did she talk to a lawyer? Is this the Oregon Department of Justice saying this? Really? Then they had Lars had attorney James Buchall on. And I know James, and James went over it and said, look, here's what the language of this means. And that's the same interpretation that not only I had, but two other lawyers. Even though in 1972, of course, as you know, Section 8A of Article 5, which deals with this whole business of secession of governor, was amended by the people. And the legislature wrote an explanation and said, well, no, it means this. And James Buchall, the lawyer that was on with Lars the other day, said, but that's not what it says. And that's why this issue is going to be, it's very unsettled, but I think by the plain language of the law, of the Constitution, the plain language clearly refers to someone who is the acting Secretary of State. That is not who Bev Clarnell is, folks. She is the Secretary of State. And the acting business has to do with the disability of an acting, of a Secretary of State, which someone is appointed to fill them, their place as an acting, and it uses the words acting. Look at the sentence just prior to it. That's how you have to read this. So Bev Clarnell could be. Now, is this going to be fought about in the, oh, you bet. You can bet your sweet bippy, to use a term that you probably haven't heard for a long time, because that's from the laugh-in days, right? I was a kid then, and I bet some of you remember. You bet your sweet bippy that the unions and everybody else that's on the left is going to sue, and this will get in front of the Oregon Supreme Court, and who knows how that rules. It will go to the courts, and that's what everybody has, every one of the lawyers that I've talked to, and that's what James Buchall, and that's what Lars's opinion is, as is mine, because this issue has never been decided. It's going to end up in front of the liberal Oregon Supreme Court, of which almost every single member has been appointed by a Democrat governor. How do you think that's going to turn out? So, the Bend Bulletin says, it's the gang that couldn't shoot straight. We'll talk with Bill Currier about that at the bottom of the hour. Really find out what are they hoping to achieve. But this piece here, the email written to me by one of our faithful listeners, quotes, people today listen with their feelings. Listening with your, now think about that. Listen with their feelings and think with their hearts. Think with their hearts. Has that always been the way it is? Is that human nature to some extent? Because I want to segue out of that to this other story that's on the Oregon Watchdog today. It's a USA Today story, and it's that Oregon could soon have the nation's most progressive, in other words, regressive, paid family leave law. will the United States follow? This is USA Today, again, liberal leftist newspaper, about all these liberal leftist presidential candidates on the Democrat side, all pushing for this. Every manner of socialist program you can imagine, they are pushing for. Really, I mean, they are. And in this case, they're talking about, they start off the story, this is that, I go back to this. People today listen with their feelings. Yes, I just got a, just got a text back from Bill Currier. Yes, he's ready to go. Cool. So we'll talk with him at the bottom of the hour. People today listen with their feelings and think with their hearts. This story, it starts off with the emotional. This is how we Republicans have got to communicate our viewpoint of liberty, our viewpoint of what it is to be a representative form of a republic. They start off with this story about when her husband, a quote from the USA Today story, when her husband was diagnosed with throat cancer in March, Dacia Graber panicked. Her mind raced with questions. How could Matt, her husband of 8 years, respond to treatment? How could they tell their five kids? What she didn't worry about, naively, she says, was taking time off to care for Lass. The husband and wife firefighters. Stop right there. These are unionized firefighters, folks, with all kinds of benefits that most of us don't get. Not that they don't deserve it, but they're union folks. Figured that their careers built on public service and self-sacrifice had to come with some form of paid family leave, right? You mean they didn't know that? You know, Oregon's had a family leave long for a long time, but it's you haven't gotten paid for it. You have to use up your vacation days, your sick days, or whatever. And then they go on to lay out how horrible this was, that they had to use their vacation time. Now, if you think I'm sounding a little bit silly here, no. I'm a private business guy. I don't get sick time. If I take a sick day, nothing works in my business. I don't get vacation days. I have to take them on my own because when I'm gone on vacation, my business doesn't work. Now, maybe not every business is that way, and maybe not all of you listening to me, are in that circumstance. Many of you do get vacation days. Good for you. What I'm saying to you is that they had to use their vacation days. Her husband, which he had saved up over 20 years. Now, that's okay. My point is that they're complaining about not having paid time off when they used a whole bunch of paid time for vacation days and sick days already as union folks. What about the rest of us out there that don't have those kinds of great benefits already? Well, we will now because we have a new state program that's going to cost you money. Let's talk about it when we come back at 6:20.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. You can also send me an email. I'll do my darndest to read it on the air. It's simple. You go to jeff@1220.am. jeff@1220.am. Or the Power Buick GMC talk line is 503-589-1220. 503-589-1220. We'll chat with our first caller in just a moment. But think about this. People today listen with their feelings and think with their hearts. Okay. What's the end result of that? Think that through for a moment in your own life, your own personal life. Because if that's what's guiding public policy like this new program being lauded with this emotional story in USA Today, House Bill 2005, which creates this new government program, it's the most progressive. In other words, meaning it's the most onerous to business, the most socialist-oriented paid family medical leave law in the country. There are a bunch of states that do this now, but they're not nearly as generous as ours. Now, let me tell you the little dirty secret about this thing. Some Republicans voted for it. And you know why? Because they cut a deal that instead of making it 40 weeks, which it originally was in the original bill, go back and look if you don't believe me, 40 weeks of paid family leave. Think about that. They got it down to 12 weeks. So because some Republicans negotiated that, which is a good thing, I mean, that's less onerous and less damaging to business. But you know what this is, don't you? Sure you do. It's the camel with the nose under the tent. And then the camel decides to raise up. You know what's going to happen down the road, don't you? Democrats will say, and the emotional stories will be all over the press. And there'll be people filling the hearing rooms. I can't make it on just 12 weeks of paid family leave. It's not fair. Because, you know, government has to make everything in life fair, doesn't it? People today listen with their feelings and think with their hearts. Instead of thinking, can you do that with mathematics? The simple math of how do you pay for all of this stuff? Margaret Thatcher's famous quote. The problem with socialism is that sooner or later you run out of other people's money. Who's that other people's money? Well, if you think that all businesses just have this endless pot of profit that they can pull out of this stuff, they can pay for sick leave. Remember we had that fight a couple of years ago? That's a new program. Now it's paid family medical leave law. Oh, and the big gas tax increase, which has raised your cost of living, that came out of the 2017 transportation bill. And oh, this new sales tax, which is going to hit everybody. How much money, extra money, does this business, little small business, like your mom and pop corner store you go to grab your coffee in the morning, how much do they have just hanging around that they can use for this? But you see, the folks that make these laws with these emotional stories, people today listen with their feelings and think with their hearts. If that's the rationale that we're going to use to make public policy, where does that end? Let's go to Ron, who's on the line. Ron, good morning. How are you, brother?
In there, going through the pass over here. I'm just going to say right now, $1 billion minimum for my company of 150 people. That's about $4,500 a month for every employee. $4,500 on the low end. And as times that, times 150. Okay? That's on the low end. So, my company has that type of money thrown away. So that means I don't get a pay raise. That means there's a possibility they might just go through and play rotate in Jeopardy. And when their jobs and needs to be done, they will cut our hours. It's a lose-lose. And somebody with that many hours that's on the union, 20 years of union, vacation or paid leave, tough crap. When I got to go help my foster mom in California, I take a personal leave off to do it. Excuse me, I don't get paid for it. Shoot, I should get upset. I should be able to get paid and subsidized on my trip down to California because of the existence of higher gas taxes and everything and higher gas prices. But that ain't going to happen. No. Realistic as this, it becomes a money shakedown for small businesses. And I'm sure there's nice little exemptions for Walmarts and Nike and Intel. You know, there's always got to be a little something so we don't run our tax base away. That's the facts, my friend. and just hopefully we do it right. People need to pay attention. Is that that 0.5% per person tax that they add into the payroll? That's a new one they just voted on, too. You need to check that out, too, my brother. Love you.
Hey, thanks, brother. You be safe out there today. That's wrong. Yeah. I like how he described California. Commifornia. It's a socialist place, folks. So, seriously, can we, through public policy, make everything in life fair? Who has tried that and it has worked? Well, people say, look, you got to look at Scandinavia. Everything there is just wonderful. Is it? Really? I don't think so. Do they have the innovation and the creativity that we do? I mean, if they did, then how come they're not coming up with all this new technology that makes their lives better? Because socialism doesn't create those kinds of incentives, does it? In fact, it adds the incentive to do just the opposite. It discourages individual creativity. Got a great email here from Walrus Law. First, I love the double standard by liberals. Liberals have been pitching fits about Trump issuing executive orders. To be consistent, chuckle, they should be now protesting Kate Brown's threat to executive orders on climate change issues. What do we do instead? Crickets, of course. I never pass up an opportunity to use the team left's thinking and actions against them. Recall, we now have red flag laws, which allow the cops to confiscate firearms of someone who might be dangerous. And he goes on to talk about student mental health days and so forth. Oh, goody. How true. When we come back, Bill Currier joins us. He's the chairman of the Oregon Republican Party to talk about their recall effort. And how does he respond to some of the criticism, as misguided as it might be? Some of it might be legitimate, too. It's 6:30. Back in a moment. You're listening to Political Coffee, and I am your host, Jeff.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes till the top of the hour. Great to have you with us, friends. If you're just joining us here on Political Coffee, yes, talking about politics over a cup of coffee. Well, because sadly, politics affects every area of your life. But you know what? We try to talk about it in a thoughtful manner. Because every one of you have the incredible ability to influence the people around you, to be persuasive. And that's our whole entire purpose of this radio show, is to give you tools, give you thoughts, ideas about how you can persuade people around you. Because you know what? If we're going to save Oregon from this descent, because we are circling the drain, folks. We just are. We're going to save it from going down the drain. We got to save it through each person, each one of us, impacting other people politically in how they think. That's why we talk about these things. So that's why I started the show with that quote about people thinking with their hearts rather than thinking with their minds. What's the ultimate outcome of that in public policy? If that's the rationale behind what we do, like paid family leave, or a whole lot of other things that have created, well, just an incredible cost of living for you all, or really limiting your liberty. So all of this has led us to the place of having these conversations in a way that, again, I hope makes sense for you to be able to share with other people, those people in your sphere of influence, whatever it is. Joining us now is the chairman of the Oregon Republican Party, Bill Currier. Bill, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
So you're out traveling, of course, and wanted to share with you some of what is just over the weekend has evolved about this whole business of the Oregon Republican Party recall of Governor Kate Brown. In fact, I shared, Bill, a story about yesterday. I left church and was driving through the city of Harrisburg, little burg that I am from. And there's a car sitting there with signs on it that says, "Recall Kate Brown. Get your petitions here." So that's I've never seen that before. I have to say that's kind of novel and different. So I wanted to ask you, first of all, explain why the Oregon Republican Party decided to go down this road. Because, frankly, Bill, I was surprised. But share with us why.
Yes, I think a lot of folks were surprised. And I can tell you that prior to the end of the legislative session, this was not on our agenda. In fact, the party's position was that a recall effort, because there was one underway, it started around January. We felt like the focus should be more on the legislative seats. But at the end of the session, it became very clear, with a number of organically forming groups that were numbering in the hundreds of thousands, well over 500,000 today if you count them all, mostly non-overlapping groups on very specific issues. Of course, the one that's the best known is the House Bill 2020 and the unscientific climate change policy that would severely impact jobs and the economy, especially for rural Oregonians, and the others that use fuel in their businesses. And so that's just one of a number of groups that had risen up to make sure their voices were heard. And we realized that there was energy here to do something, to make a change. And so we changed our position. And we don't see it as either or, you know, going after the governor for denying, overturning the will of the voters on things like Measure 88 and Measure 97, and denying the rights of citizens to protect themselves with Second Amendment infringements, and, you know, denying Oregon families, you know, the security of a future with their jobs, and even things like, not even things, but even maybe especially things like medical and religious freedom that was threatened with House Bill 3063, taking away the right of families to decide medical care, you know, absent a public emergency, government-enforced, you know, medical care, basically. All of these things and more, we have a long list, actually, of abuses, we call them, of the governor and those legislators and Democrat leadership that were putting these bills forward despite strong opposition from their own party, in fact. You know, we saw Measure 88 go down 2-1, and yet they turn around and they pass House Bill 2015, giving driving privileges to illegal aliens, something that has a very strong majority opposition. So even members of the Democrat Party are coming forward now, signing this petition. I would say more than 20% of our requests to sign the petition are from non-Republicans. So it's a very, very strong movement right now to bring back some balance and accountability in governance.
So, okay, fair enough. I mean, there are plenty of us who are people in the middle and on the right side of things, you know, get all of that. And you're right, there was a tremendous amount of energy, just timber unity and moms against vaccines. I remember being in front of the Capitol building with a big white tent there. It says Democrat women against forced vaccinations. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, clearly, what the legislature and Kate Brown have done is overreached. But how do you respond to the criticism, Bill, that, yeah, well, that's what you guys think, but the majority of Oregonians who voted for Kate Brown like these ideas. So how are you going to convince them that Kate Brown's worthy of a recall if they like what she's been doing?
Well, yeah, the argument has been put forward several times. Well, you know, she was elected, therefore she has a mandate. We reject that idea. The recall provision exists for the very purpose of removing someone who is a public official who's acting egregiously. And when you look at things like the House Bill 2020 that would have taken away jobs and hurt Oregon's economy in order to address environmental concerns that we all share. I don't think anyone disputes the fact that we need to address environmental concerns, but Kate Brown promised during her campaign that she would do so in a way that did not negatively impact Oregon's jobs and economy. And yet, that's exactly what they were trying to do. And so when we have Democrats joining us in this recall effort, they are making it very clear it's because they have the governor and the Democrat leadership in the legislature has gone too far.
So there's no question that Kate Brown is unpopular. That Morning Consult poll last week showed her 47th least popular governor in the entire country. She's almost dead last. All right, fair enough. So there's an opportunity here, I think, to do that, to recall her at some point. But here's the question. Over the weekend, there was also this Eric Lukens editorial in the Bend Bulletin calling you guys the gang that couldn't shoot straight. Because there's this erroneous, and I believe it is erroneous, there's this narrative out there, according to the AP story and everybody else, that Bev Clarno cannot succeed Kate Brown if you're successful in getting the signatures and the people of Oregon, you know, kick Kate Brown out. That it would be Tobias Reid. I think the Constitution says differently. A number of lawyers think they
do. I agree.
Did you guys sit down and talk with a lawyer about that possibility before you did this?
We received conflicting information that it could go either way. I tend to agree with you. I think that the way that disablement clause is written in there, it would apply to an appointed Secretary of State, that the appointed Secretary of State could succeed the governor in that situation, because they're not a temporary appointee, they're not an acting Secretary of State, they're the
correct
full Secretary of State. And so there's language that to me, there's language that could go either way, and this may end up being a Supreme Court settled matter, but our bottom line was, regardless of how that goes, the people's voice needs to be heard, the balance needs to be brought back, that the signal needs to be sent in no uncertain terms that they've gone too far, that they're threatening freedoms and the economy and constitutional protections. These are egregious behaviors. These aren't just minor policy differences. These are horrendous behaviors on the part of elected officials. And when you have so many people way beyond just Republicans, this is far bigger than the Republican Party. I just want to make that clear. It's far bigger than that.
It is, and I think you guys put out a press release saying that 20% of the people requesting petitions are Democrats.
Over 20%. It's actually growing. The number of people coming on board are the percentage of them that are not Republican is growing. It's just phenomenal. I've never seen anything like this.
We have just a few seconds left. Bill, how can people download the single signer petition, and where can they learn more from both your website and your Facebook page? Is that correct?
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity for that, Jeff. It's very, very simple. KateBrownRecall.org. I'll repeat that. KateBrownRecall.org is a self-service website that allows them to download both the single signer petition as well as instructions, very clear and specific instructions on the 10-line petition if they want to offer to help. And at this point, over 40% of the people that are asking for petitions are also wanting to gather petitions as well.
Bill, thanks for joining us. We're at the end of our time. I appreciate it. Be safe out there in your travels, and good luck.
Thank you, Jeff.
6:48, back in a moment. Stop.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. So that was Bill Currier, and I wonder what your reaction to his comments about why the Oregon Republican Party decided to launch this effort to recall Kate Brown. By the way, if you go to, I apparently didn't write it down correctly because I went to recallkatebrown.org. It takes you to a website that supports Kate Brown by Act Blue. So so one of my listeners who heard that correctly, and you're on the right website, would you text me or email me, jeff@1220.am, so that I can put out the right website? Recall Kate Brown, something.org is the right way to get there. Otherwise, you go to a donation site. Kate Brown, support Kate Brown's governor. Oh, you got to love it. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. What did you think about his comments, Bill Currier's comments, about why they're doing this? So are there positives and are there negatives? Now, we've talked about some of that previously, and we'll get into that. There are some benefits, but are there some negatives of doing this? Now, again, I read you. And you guys hang on there on the line because I'm going to get to you in just a moment here. I read you again that email from one of our listeners about this is a diversion that doesn't really get us anywhere because it takes away the focus from putting our energy and our resources into doing away with the supermajorities that are doing things like the paid family leave law that I talked about previously. Okay. In fact, I got an email from my buddy Rich. It says, my wife and I have to disagree with part of your statement this morning. Yes, it may seem like a waste of time. However, with the people we talk with, the hope is that it is a start to get rid of a lot of Democrats in 2020. So couldn't we get rid of Brown on a mental disability? It seems by her past actions, she isn't all there. Laugh out loud. Okay, we'll start with the phones. We'll start first with Rebecca. Rebecca, good morning. How are you, and what do you think today?
Good morning. I'm calling because it doesn't really matter to me why they're doing it. It's just that we live in a free system, and both groups have decided to do it. And I think both are going to fail unless we really push people to sign both petitions and carry both petitions on us.
Are a lot of people doing that? It seems like I hear that both petitions are being carried by people. Is that your experience?
I don't know, but I went and got both petitions. And yesterday I went signature collecting, and I only had one person refuse to sign the flushed down one.
Really?
Moral grounds. Because the person doing it, they said it does not speak well, and I know that that's one of the considerations of the Republican Party. As I've talked with Republicans, they tend to flinch at the title of the other one, and they don't like how the guy is doing it. So, but it's a free country, and both groups have the right to do it. But I think both are going to fail unless we carry both petitions with us. So anyway, the other thing I wanted to say was that I went to the Republican office. There, we now have a Republican office here in Salem. It's a joint office between the Marion County Republicans and the ORP. And I went in there to get the number 10 petition also, which is the toll that they want to toll I-5 and 205. And we need to get that on the ballot also. And I got some Trump Pence bumper stickers that were just handed to me, a whole pile of them. And it was really fun finding people who would say they would put them on their cars. So I got to hand out a whole pile of
All right, Rebecca, thank you. First of all, thanks for listening. Thanks for taking a moment to call in and share with us your experience about this. That's Rebecca. What is your thoughts about what Bill Currier said? 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. If somebody's got that right website, the .org website, not the one that supports Kate Brown, send me the link to it. Art is up next. Art, good morning. How are you, brother?
Good morning, Jeff. Gosh, the power of prayer. Things are happening positively, you know. And, hey, my dad and my grandpa always told me, if at first you don't succeed, try again. And this is the beginning, Jeff, okay? We need to be positive. We need to go out and get signatures and get people to sign it. But this is the start of a movement, Jeff. And Oregon is starting to change because people don't like what's happening. And as far as resources go, what we spend on this is going to put us so much further along in the election process, because guess what? Guess what the number one thing talk is in Oregon right now? It's recalling Kate Brown.
Well, it is, and every candidate for office, and Art, I got to let you go because I got another caller I need to get to. Thanks, friend. Every candidate that's going to be running for the state legislature and a lot of local offices are going to be asked this question. Do you support the recall of Governor Kate Brown? That's an opportunity to talk about the issues. That's a point Art has made before. Let's go to our other caller. Caller, good morning. Who are you, and what do you think?
My name is Brian.
Hi, Brian.
And I want to just say, Jeff, that you take the win where you can get it. That's what we have to do. We have a momentum heading that way, so let's take this win and just move on with it. Otherwise, if we don't, the party just sort of stays static.
Fair enough. I think that this is certainly a catalyst to get more people sort of involved with the Oregon Republican Party, and that's one of the things that Bill Currier talked about. So do you think that that's going to be the outcome? Are you helping gather signatures? Is that what you're hearing?
I have two sheets almost filled up in my car right now.
And who are you talking to? Just people you know, you get to meet?
People at my church and people that I just know people. And they go, I haven't seen a petition yet. I said, well, sign this one. There's two out there. You can sign them both. Just make sure that there's one that's sponsored by Bill Currier, and the other one is sponsored by the Flush Down Kate Brown people. And I don't know who the chief petitioner is, but it shows who the chief petitioner is. You can sign them both.
Brian, thanks. I appreciate you taking
time
to listen, and thank you for calling in and sharing with us what you're doing out there. Folks, I hope you found this interesting. Look, there's no question that there are benefits in doing this. There are probably some negatives also, because there always is. There's a give and take here, but do the benefits outweigh the negatives? Is this an opportunity to talk about why Oregon would want to recall a governor? What has she done that deserves recall? That's the opportunity, folks, for you to influence your world and be persuasive with other people. And gathering signatures can certainly help. Thanks for listening today, folks. Deeply grateful to all of you for taking a little bit of your time. I'm back tomorrow. I hope you are too. This is Political Coffee. Get out there. Make it a great day. See you then.